7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial, the number one video game podcast in Asgard. I'm your host, Bryant Odin Daniels, and joining me across the universe, on Skype, across the Bifrost, the bridge in Asgard, is Todd, Thor Fortner. I couldn't think of the nickname. I couldn't think of the nickname for a second. So you don't know
Ragnarok.
Ragnarok. That would have been a good one, Ragnarok. If you don't know who we are, we're a video game podcast, and we get together every week to talk about video games. Usually we got full episodes where we talk about what we've been playing, give you a breakdown of the news, and then usually a discussion, a roundtable discussion, if you will, on some video game social matters. But this week we're doing a mini-sode. This mini-sode, we usually do a top seven, but again, just how you can always expect it, once we zig, we actually zag. We're actually doing a review mini-sode this week. Todd, what game are we reviewing for our audience?
The game of the year, God of War. That's game what we're reviewing today.
Of the year. I was thinking about this.
I know it's early, too. It's real early to be calling that, but I'm calling it.
It's April. It's still a little bit early. However, I can't see something else taking this out. I can't see something else taking this out of running for me. I don't think I've ever been this entrenched. Maybe. I don't know, though. Just because Red Dead's got a great pedigree behind it. I mean, you've got, you know, it's Rockstar. It's come from one of the greatest games in history. It's a sequel to that. However, that doesn't mean that it can outtake God of War, which has probably one of the best stories I've played since Last of Us. It's one of the best stories I've played. If not the best story.
Like, Last of Us, I mean, we might touch it, but just in case we don't. The one thing I like about God of War that's better than Last of Us is the relationship between the child and the adult in this one. It didn't just hinder the gameplay a little bit. He helps it, but, you know, definitely as far as the story, it's powerful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Santa Monica Studios.
Yes. Thank you so much for bringing us essentially God of War 4. You can call it a reboot if you want. You can call it a comeback. Don't call it a comeback. It's God of War, man. And so the premise of the story itself is Kratos has moved on. He's moved on from Greek mythology. He's done. I mean, what else are you going to do after the ending of 3? What else is there left for Kratos to do in Greek mythology, right? He's basically had his whole world ripped completely away from him, and he has destroyed Mount Olympus with his bare hands, one brick at a time, one stone at a time. So now what else do? You go, you move on to another realm. You find a wife and have a child. And you just try to find some peace in your life. You try to control your anger. You try to bring the woosah back into your life. That's what I feel like Kratos is doing at the very beginning of this game. He's bringing the woosah back. He's trying to not be so angry all the time. Although I love those bursts of rage when they do occur. But the game came out this year. It's been hailed by everybody as already, like we just said, like you said, Todd, game of the year. One of the best games ever played. Ever made, 10 out of 10, perfect scores across the board. Now, my question to you, Todd, is it deserving of the perfect scores, or do you think that there maybe is a little too much hype? I'm going to say probably not, considering you called it the game of the year. This is just a clever way for me to transition into your overall thoughts on the game.
I mean, on a dopeness level, it's Pineapple Kush.
Yeah.
Doesn't even exist. You know, nah, in some way, we talked about it, man, in some ways, like, it's a level of greatness that's truly appreciated in, you know, the video game culture right now. It should be something that we look at and, you know, praise, basically. the number one thing for me, why it's a number 10 out of 10. We can go down the graphics. We can go down the, you know, the smart way they slowed it down to 30 FPS and, you know, focused on the camera right over the left shoulder and really charged up the graphics like they've known to do. They pushed the system like they did with PlayStation 2. But the main reason for me why it's a 10 out of 10 point blank period is because it's like spitting in EA and Xbox's face.
Yeah.
When they just jumble off dumb shit off their mouth. You know what I mean? That these types of experiences aren't profitable. You can't make money off of them. And we just need to throw a bunch of dumb idiocracy type shit at the culture. And we'll just buy it. It can be shit. They'll fix it and throw more shit on top of shit. And then we just all end up on standing on the mound of shit. This is a shining light. Now, hopefully, you know, we can carry it forward. The issues that it's going to run into is, I mean, God of War is a staple. It's the system seller. It's like Mario for Sony. That's what I see. You know, so that's dope. But our other platforms are going to take heed and learn from, okay, we can still make quality games and people will come out in droves on day one to support it. So, I mean, that's my main point of emphasis. Other than, I mean, the shit is just great. Like, I've had jaw-dropping moments in it. You know, it's still kind of early. We got to touch it again where we can, you know, where everything is complete. Because every time that I think it can't get any better, it does. The funny thing is, I'm not going to get into it in depth. Like, you know, I've referenced it before. I got the Kratos tattoo on me, man. So, you know, I've been a fan. I could go on and on. I don't need to, you know, go on at ad nauseum about how, you know, ridiculous God of War is. I still think I might get the old man God of War right on the other side of young man God of War, even though Norse mythology could be associated with white supremacy.
Yeah, I mean, that is
Thunderbolts of Thor.
There is something I picked up in the game. You know, the head that he carries on the back of his belt at one point. I'm not trying to spoil it for too many people. The head's talking, though, and they're talking about Thor. And he's like, yeah, Thor's the worst of the bunch. He's just a fat drunk. And that cracked me up, dude. That cracked me up.
That's what I love about God of War itself, though. You know, mythology in general, and we can get into that. That's a whole nother subject within itself as far as, like, gaming and mythology and everything. Yeah. And we kind of touched a little bit in a previous episode with religion and gaming. So that was maybe a good episode to kind of go back and listen to as far as just specific to religion and mythology and everything. No need to go into it in depth here. But it's specifically with God of War. That's what I loved about how he destroyed the whole ideal of religion
in
Greek, in ancient Greek society. So for him to go and do the same thing with Norse mythology, it's just,
it's satisfying. It's
just so sweet.
It is. It's so sweet.
Yep. So, like, yeah.
Man, I mean, you just hit on so many points there, too, that just, this is a call out. This is 100% a crucial and critical game for several reasons. Number one, no multiplayer. It's not a multiplayer-based game. This is primarily a single-player-based game that has focused on several critical things that always will form a good game and that have been proved time and time again. It's not going with trends. There's no battle royale mode in this game. You're not going to get a battle royale mode from God of War. No, and you don't need one. It's focusing on storytelling. It's focusing on expanding the hardware and the software that the system can use. Just like you referenced God of War 2 on the PlayStation 2. Todd, when you plugged in God of War 2 way back when on the PlayStation 2, did you think that your PS2 could push graphics that far?
Absolutely not. And it's doing, I mean, yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much a similar experience with PlayStation 4 from the first time you put it on. And this is with what you referenced previously. This is with all the weight of the expectations on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, from people that haven't played it, somebody like me that's played all of them, like you that's played all of them and has certain expectations, and the way they built up the story, even the enemies, like the first battle that you go through, classic God of War battles are colossal, just superhuman, over-the-top battles.
Mm-hmm.
This one was more intimate, but it still had that feel and that rage and that,
yes,
you know, and he starts out with the tempered kind of, I have a son now.
I have to be calm. I'm trying to
live as a man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, the stranger comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, that stranger fight, though, at the very beginning, what I found so impressive about that, too, was not only does it establish or reestablishes Kratos' rage, it shows you that it's still there. It shows you that rage is still there. It's not muted at all. What he's doing, though, is trying to protect his son from that rage that he experienced. And there's a couple of moments in the game where it really keys in on some of the motivation behind what Kratos is doing with his son. There's a moment in one of the caves where you meet a spirit, and the spirit says, yeah, he was a robber and his own son stabbed him in the back, etc. And then the son peeks up and he goes, he killed his own father? What kind of son would kill his own father? And Kratos is like, you don't know the whole story, boy. And they just kind of move on from that facet. But you get these little, the way they do the storytelling is they don't give you a book of narrative, although there's notations you can look at in the game. You can look at a journal if you want to, but you don't have to. And there's no exposition that you need in the game. The game's storytelling is told in the best way that a video game does, and that's through interactive environments with the actual game itself, interacting with the game, walking around, experiencing the story, listening to the conversation between the father and the son, between Kratos and his boy, Atreus. And when he comes into contact with other people and they're explaining to you what's going on, especially a very crucial character in the game, the witch, is if you went into this game completely blind, you don't even have to read anything about it. You will get the full story of the game running through it. And it's very clear and concise about what's going on. But the themes it hits on for Kratos with dealing with loss again, because we all deal with loss in our life. We just don't all deal with it as much as some people, but we do deal with loss. And he's dealing with it. This is what, the second time in his life? The second time in his life that he's dealt with some major loss. And now he's trying to protect the one facet of sanity he has with him, which is his son, which is also crazy because he doesn't know how to interact with his son, which I find absolutely fascinating. You know, he's still got that very reserved, I've got to teach him to be a warrior. I've got to teach him to be strong. I can't show him love no matter what he wants to do. And there's some critical moments that hit on that with the kind of torn feeling he has. But there's games that come along every now and then and they just completely change the industry. You know, they do. In the 80s, it was Mario. You talked about Mario. In the 90s, it was Final Fantasy. In the early 2000s, it was GTA. And now you've got God of War coming back. God of War helped change the facet and the landscape back on the original PlayStation 2 when it first came out. You know, after that, you got QuickTime events and everything. But nobody ever executed QuickTime events like they did in God of War. And here's the thing. I've got a question for you. So we went from a style of combat from the original Gods of War that was more hack and slash beat-em-up, less RPG-ish, to more of a focused RPG-ish, very thoughtful combat system. How do you feel about the combat, Todd?
Oh, it's great. The balance of it, I love. Really, the combat is surrounded by a new weapon, the Leviathan, and it just never gets old. It's actually exactly like Mjolnir. I'm probably pronouncing these things wrong, but y'all feel me, y'all.
Yeah,
y'all know what time it is, man. Thor's hammer. And it just feels great. The timing of, you know, throwing the axe, and if you throw it in the right direction in the right place, you might hit one enemy and draw it back to you and hit him one more time and another one. And this, the bare hand fighting in between, and the difference between the different types of enemies, between the Draugrs and between, you know, that witch that you actually have to use.
I hate those things.
And I mean, just, yeah, you know, and the battle mechanics are great. I mean, I'm a bit over the top with God of War, the whole beat 'em up aspect of it. I mean, yeah, in some ways it was born to some people the 58th time you rip somebody into two.
Yeah.
I always had fun with that. And as a fan, though, with the new battle mechanics, I mean, it's just taking it up a whole nother notch to me. And I know the part that you are at, and that's why I can't wait. This could just be like a part one, and we might have to do a part two.
Yeah, we can.
Because I want to hear, when you get to like a certain part, like, and actually go through it, I want to hear your perspective and your point of view, even in the story, in the relationship between Kratos and man, I could I can't even pronounce his fucking name right
Atreus?
Now. Atreus.
Yeah, Atreus. Yeah.
I keep wanting to say Atreyu.
I do too, man.
In this story,
yeah.
But I keep wanting to say Atreyu, man.
I expect a white horse to come riding out that he has to ride the rest of the story. That's eventually going to die in a mud pit. That's how I feel every time.
Exactly. But like, and I mean, that's another genius thing about the way they did the gameplay. It's a true single player experience, yeah. But you really never feel alone between the one character that, you know, you already brought up with the head and Atreus, his son, giving a comic relief. You know, you never really feel alone through the whole story. And the AI has done so well with Atreus. That's like imperative for this whole thing to work. And they nailed it. Graphics, sound effects, everything. So like, just objectively, there are some things here that's just be hard to argue that they're not a 10 out of 10 in this genre. You know, people will always have their opinions, and I'm a staunch believer that nothing is perfect. If I didn't think Red Dead Redemption was perfect, I mean, you're not going to tell me anything is perfect. That's just an absolute, that's, you know, impossible. But for me, I couldn't have asked for more. And I mean, if it was going to be shit, I would have shat all completely on it.
Yeah.
But there's no way for me to do it. I really, once again, like when we get off of this, I'm at a part right now. I'm just trying to get through it before I have to go back to work tomorrow. You know what I'm saying?
I'm finding little like 30-minute to hour chunks just so I can play when I don't have time or I'm just sitting up at night right now playing. I mean, I haven't played a game like this in a long time where I've just been so addicted to it that I couldn't stop playing. And that's all I'm thinking about right now. The little moments in the game. The sound design, you hit on the sound design, dude. There's something so cool about the sound design I found out today. So I was in a cave exploring, trying to find, you know, the rune puzzles to open up one of the treasure chests. And Atreus starts talking, and I start walking off. And the sound gets further away from me. I hate when games keep the noise right next to you when you're not in proximity to a character. So I start walking off. Atreus' voice starts to reduce and starts to go at a lower distance, starts to sound echoey, and then at one point I hear him go, "Oh, where'd you go?" And he's clearly continued to talk, and finally he's turned around and realized I wasn't there. It's just those little moments that bring perfection to a game. It's the little attention, it's the attention to detail. I mean, when you come to a one part, there is a frost giant laying on the ground, ginormous thing. And he's got his beard, and you can actually walk up to his beard and look at the hair, like the single strands of hair, because he's such a large, and they've taken the time to animate that. Even when it comes to Kratos, like when you get a close up of Kratos' face, you can see the beard, you can see the dimples, you can see the, you know, the little pox in his skin where he's gone through battle, or the scars, or you can see like the ash on his skin, like the way he's covered.
That's just dope. That's super dope. Like, you know, he's the ghost of Sparta. And he's always been just white, like albino. Is he white? And here, they even got to the point where they separated the ash from the actual skin tone. And it's just crazy. And no cutscenes in the whole game just makes it even more of a seamless transition between gameplay and just the story. And it just immerses you into it. I think it's an actual setting, like, immersive setting that you can go to. I didn't even really mess with the settings because I've just been going through it, but I'm so excited about this. Like, I'm just cool about it.
I just want
to keep playing. Like, I'm just in an appreciative, a good place. Like, okay, there is still hope. As long as there's always people that's, even though if they're in the minority, that's willing to stand up for like quality stuff and are in the position of power to do so. Then, I mean, you know, there is hope. Therein lies the hope. I don't know. It's just the game of the year so far, man. It's taken a lot of stuff. I mean, like Last of Us, like I said, the AI with the character that you're actually just having to take along with you, as great as Last of Us is, I didn't enjoy that aspect of the game as much as I do with God of War. Horizon Zero Dawn, I love that game. Graphically, before this game came out, I felt like it pushed the PS4 pretty much to the max. Then it took it to another level. It's the game of the year so far. Red Dead Redemption is gonna be great, hands down. I'm still looking forward to Spider-Man. Trying to look forward to what Insomniac is gonna do with that and have Spider-Man like V Batman. type got gameplay. But yeah, man, this one is sticking with me. It's highly appreciated.
Yeah, I'm still trying to. I can't really imagine anything but Red Dead Redemption 2 giving this a run for its money. I mean, it's still early, so anything could surprise me. But you know, this is just phenomenal. It's really stunning what they've done with this. And you know, you implement the fantasy elements to it, and you implement the Norse mythology, and they've done a very clever job of implementing some of those Norse characters. And I almost see it as a way of, you know, going after the true mythology, the true Norse mythology, which formed around the same time as Greek mythology. And we talked a little bit about that. And, you know, having this idea that the only other thing that I would have almost liked to have seen, because I like it in the Norse mythology, they did say originally this one was going to take place in Egyptian mythology. That was supposed to be the original plan. So I found that was interesting. I prefer the Norse mythology now that I see it, because what they've done with it is really, really, really freaking cool. And I just find it interesting. This game is just, I don't know, man. Like, I want to sit here and gush about it, and I want to talk about spoilers, but I'm kind of waiting for everybody to finish the game so that we can all just have a good, fun conversation with spoiler, and maybe see if they're teasing a sequel at the end, which you know they will. This game sold buku already. I mean, I went to go Best Buy to pick up my pre-order copy. I walked up to the cash register, and I was like, yeah, I'm here to pick up a pre-order. Oh, let me guess, God of War? I was like, yeah, how'd you know? And she's like, you're only the, like, 100th person that's come in today to pick up their pre-order of God of War. So it's not surprising at all. I was like, ah, fair enough. You know, this is the one that is to get. This is the game of the year. And everybody knew. We talked about this earlier. You brought up a good point. Every other publisher knew nothing, not to put anything out this weekend. Because they knew. They just knew that Kratos' rage would propel God of War to be the number one game of the year. They just knew.
I mean, they had to. you know who your competition is. It's just like a sporting event. You know who is the favorite, you know, and the reasons why. You got the inside track on what's going on. So, and I mean, God of War 3 came out, 2010? So
yeah, 2010. About
8 years ago. They've been developing this game since about 2014. Yeah. It wasn't a promise for it to be made. Didn't you tell me something like busted out in tears or whatever? Was it you that said that?
What's that?
The developer.
Yeah, you tell developer.
Me about the developer busting out in tears or something. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The director of the game.
The developers was talking about story driven games and not believing in games as a service. You were telling me the director burst out in tears for what again? I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was. He actually live streamed a review. Of him reading the reviews of God of War as they were coming in. He live streamed him actually reading and looking at the reviews, and he started to tear up at the reviews because he was getting nothing but perfect scores. I mean, if you look right now, it's got a 95 Metacritic for a reason. And he was just he was amazingly thankful for the position he's in and seeing that his hard work had paid off finally. You know, imagine that. You've been in work on something for 4 years that's something you can tell he's got passion for. Because you don't tear up at good reviews unless you have passion for that project. So clearly, you know, there was behind the scenes talk, and I've heard these rumors that certain publishers were trying to get them to put in multiplayer, and they refused. They just flat out refused, which was good. So you stick by your guns. You know, you don't see games as a service. You move forward. And if this isn't, if people don't like this, again, we touched on this at the very beginning. If people don't think that this game is critical to the gaming industry right now, Todd, you talked about it. It proves a point. People will not just go out and buy whatever you tell them to. And you can't just put out crap like Battlefront 2 or put out PUBG barely finished for the Xbox. People go out and buy it. Yeah, sure. But then they see it's crap and they fall off of it. You put out a game, you take your time, you build up a story, you put in good mechanics, you expand the environment, you make it beautiful, you hit on some deeply personal themes. Even in a fantasy element with Norse gods, you hit on some deeply parental relationships, something people can connect with. People will respond to that every single time.
It's something you can learn from. It's something you know, it's like we touched on proper representation. I just feel like they're doing just like you. I'm in agreement. They're doing some great things with Norse mythology, and you almost trust it's not. I mean, of course, it's a fantasy. It's a it's a fictional world, so on and so forth. But I mean, they're doing great things with the characters and how they basically spit it in the face and just having a conversation. How people take these things so literally, and it can be divisive and crazy, and it just turns it upside on its head in a beautiful experience, and it's like a great movie experience, but you're getting 30 hours out of it. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, for $60. I was thinking about it while I was playing. I was like, man, this is saving me so much money in the long run.
Oh, dude.
It's out of time, man. This shit's so dope. It's like, it's the opposite of Reggie level dopeness. It's really, the greatness of it is amazing. It's coming at a perfect time. The milestone of it all. I told you before, to me, it's kind of Black Panther level greatness just because it is bucking ignorant narrative.
Yes.
Or just a silly narrative. In this case, it's a narrative of single players are dead. You can't make good games anymore, because basically they're basically saying that the customer base is too stupid to enjoy good games, in my opinion.
Yeah.
When you say things like that, like, they just give them whatever. So absolutely, man, I nails it home. And you can kill seagulls.
Oh, you, dude, that is so cool.
With your axe.
You can also blow them up with your boat. I accidentally ran into one on the lake, and it blew up. Yeah, it's freaking fantastic, dude. That's because you're Kratos and you're rowing your boat so hard. If Kratos sang "Row, row, row your boat," it would be a death metal song. That's just the honest truth. But no, man. And one last thing I want to hit on before, you know, we wrap up the minisode and we give our now scores. They may change once we finish the game, but we'll give our now scores. The combat is so, if you are a fan of action RPGs, this is perfect. The combat. Maybe not everything about the game's perfect. Maybe I'm seeing things through rose-colored glasses, but one thing I can say is absolutely 100% perfect about the game is the combat. There is a choreography to the combat. Once you figure out the system, it is deceptively simple and extremely complex at the same time. It's extremely visceral. And it feels good. It just feels good. I love throwing my axe, following up by sprinting and slamming into an enemy, and then punching the enemy in the face repeatedly several times until I finally rip him in half. It's just to say, some of the elements of the combat, the quick time events are still there. You know, they still have the quick time events, but it's not as much. It's not as crucial. And what they've done is give you an opportunity to build your combat tree and your armor and everything in the game to your play style. It's however you want to play. Me, personally, I build up defense and attack because I like melee attacks. I use the axe occasionally when I'm trying to take down something bigger than me that I just can't get to. But I do like to use the melee attacks. But if you want to use, what are they called, runic powers? You can build towards those runic powers. And it's just extremely impressive. I'm just really blown away by everything that this game has done. Everything that, it's what, Santa Monica Interactive? Which is part of Santa Monica.
Sega's the publisher, Santa Monica, the developer. Yeah, man, they did a great job. And like I touched on before, just recently, I was watching the interview, and I knew it was going to be powerful when the head of it was saying, basically, you know, they believe in good storytelling and they don't believe in making games of service. And they gave us the best linear open world experience I've ever played as well this year. I mean, it's just so many things that it did great. I mean, I can't give it enough kudos on this one, man. Seriously, like, can't wait to finish it so we can really get into it even more. I mean, I don't know, man. If you want to just go to it, I'm just going to be like everybody else, right? Well, not everybody else. Somebody, you know, people out there giving it nines. I mean, it is easily a 10 out of 10. This is an easy conversation. There's no need for me to oversell this one.
Yeah,
it's going to sell itself. You know, it's not even a, you know, nuanced or niche opinion in the genre. This is an easy conversation. This is just a great game. Go get the game.
Yeah.
Play it so we can all talk about it.
Yeah, this is easily a 10 out of 10, even if this isn't your style of game. I highly recommend at least giving it a shot. If there's something not appeal to you, play it. Play it for the first 2 hours. Get to that stranger fight. and tell me if you are not completely enticed by that Stranger fight, then you are just objectively wrong. I'm just going to say you are objectively wrong if that game does, if that doesn't pull you into the game. It's a 10 out of 10. So we're going to wrap it up. Before we do, a couple shout outs this week. New to the STT tribe, Robert Phillips and Wesley Morrison, Floyd Bayweather and Martin on Twitter. New to the STT tribe. So I want to say welcome. Welcome, guys. Joining in the video game talk and interacting with us and just loving the funny stuff that we post up to Facebook or Twitter. Also, you can find us at facebook.com/skipthetutorialpodcast. You can follow us on Twitter at @STT_pod. You can find us on Instagram. Todd, what's the name of that Instagram account?
So Skip the Tutorial Pod, real easy to find. You know, you could just follow us on there. I think it was Wesley that follows and made a couple of comments. We might post a couple of little different things on there than the other pages. But yeah, it's Skip the Tutorial Pod. Follow, we'll follow back, get entered into a random giveaway on that as well. And we appreciate and love y'all, man, for real, the people that listen. You know, even with the little mini-sode, I know it's not our normal thing, but we'll be back next week and hopefully, you know what I'm saying, have a good full episode and completed the game and, you know, give you even more, you know, just love for the game, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, Wesley, actually, he left us a comment on CastBox too. He said, new favorite podcast to listen to at work, helps my day fly. Martin also said something about being at work with that, talking about when you get that notification from STT Pod, so you no longer dread working the night shift. So we appreciate it, Martin. Thank you so much. We're going to have to try to put more content out for you in the future. But anyway, that's been this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial. And as we always say right before we sign off, stay humble.